We also see where the lot was cast in order to determine how the land was to be divided up between the 12 tribes. So we can see this was not really an unusual occurrence of using lots or purrs. It's said that they used the purr to indicate that when the choice was not able to be made by man, or it just didn't matter, they left it up to God at that point. Whether the, like, perhaps with Haman, he said, I don't care what day I want that they're all killed, as long as they're all killed. Couldn't make up his mind on his own, so he threw the purr to figure out what day it would be. Or perhaps a choice would be too difficult for a man to make. And that, for example, might be separating the land. And who would get which piece of land when they were separating it for the tribes. So it's said that either they couldn't figure it out, or there just was no rational reason for picking one or the other. And they would allow the Lord to choose for them. Now, in Haman's case, he used the purr to choose the day to annihilate the Jewish people, of course. And he does this perhaps as a way of saying, it doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter, but as long as the Jews are wiped away. And not only that, it seems to me he was using it as a way of getting a buy-in from the Lord. He made the plan, but he tried to get the Lord to buy into his plan. It obviously wasn't the plan of the Lord, but Haman thought that he could force almost the Lord to do what he wanted done. And we know that that's just not the way the Lord works. The Lord's will always win out. In the New Covenant, the Brit HaKadoshah, we see that Gamaliel, a great Jewish leader, knew that that was the case, that the Lord's will always win out. So let's take a quick look at Acts 5:38. And here we have the apostles being brought before the Sanhedrin. And they're saying, what do we do? What do we do? Do we kill them? What do we do with them? And Gamaliel says this. So now I tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or undertaking is of men, it will come to an end. But if it's of God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even be found fighting against God. And they took his advice. Remember, he's cited. Remember this one. He was a false Messiah. We killed him. The people, he died. The people were scattered. Nothing came of it. This one, he was a false Messiah. The people just scattered. This, same thing's going to happen here. This Yeshua guy, he dies. The people are going to scatter if it's not of God. And if they don't, then it must be of God. And we're just fighting against Adonai. And we know we're not going to win that battle. So Haman came with this plan to Adonai. And he wanted to do it. Tried to put it into the hands of Adonai in order to complete the plan. Sort of like putting the horse or the cart before the horse. Because when's the time to go to Adonai? It's not after you make the plan. It's to get the plan. Who is better to make a plan than the one who never fails? Scripture tells us what happens when a man tries to plan without Adonai's counsel, especially when it's against Adonai's plan or will. Psalm 33:10. Adonai foils the purposes of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The plan of Adonai stands forever, the purposes of his heart from generation to generation. God's plan does not fail. Never. We may not understand it, but his plan doesn't fail. It may not look like the plan we would come up with, but his plan never fails. We may not understand why he wants us to do something. But that's when we need to step out in faith, knowing his plan never fails. So we come up to this time of the year in Purim, and we celebrate it. It's a time to remember that a man planned. The plan was, first of all, men of all, during that time, they were making a lot of plans. The plan was to was first of all force this young Jewish woman named Hadassah, not even knowing she was Jewish, into a position she did not want to take voluntarily. It was a time when Mordecai overheard something that he was not supposed to hear, but did the right thing in reporting it. And even then, he was not recognized for it right away. It's a day when we celebrate that Esther needed to do something to save her people. But she didn't know what to do or how to do it. She thought that she didn't have any tools in her bag of tricks. She couldn't even go to the king because she hadn't been summoned to the king for a long time. Scripture says 30 days. And no one could go before the king without being killed unless he called or unless he extended out that septum. She thought she had no weapons, but perhaps in reality, she really did. Now you've heard it said, the pen is mightier than the sword. This was coined by Edward Bulwer Lytton for his play Richelieu, which is French for conspiracy. He wrote it in 1839. And he was not the first one to come up with this thought. Just a few examples of other people who said something very similar. In Hamlet, Shakespeare gave the line to Rosencrantz that said, many wearing rapiers were afraid of goose quills and dare scarce come thither. They were afraid of the word. Thomas Jefferson sent a letter to Thomas Paine in 1796 in which he wrote, go on doing with your pen what in other times was done with the sword. Go forth with a word what other people were doing with their own might, with their own hands. So for Esther and the Jewish people, it was the power of prayer that turned everything around. So I'd say go on doing with your prayers what other things can only be done by force, or by hand, or by man's plan. But the reality is, force, man's plans and hands, will not always do it. Prayer will always do it. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of Messiah's community and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Haman thought he had a plan. Esther and Mordecai had no idea how their plan was going to work. Didn't even really have a plan. Excuse me. Didn't have a plan, but was willing to go to the Lord. Excuse me. Allergy time. I'm not sick, I promise. They knew something had to be done. Mordecai and Esther did, but didn't know what. Didn't know how. So what did they do? Esther comes up with a plan. Pray. Fast. Then we'll see how God moves. Pray. Fast. Then we can depend upon our Lord God to do what needs to be done. Pray and fast. Pray and fast will always put us into a position of victory. It may not occur the way you thought it was going to. It may not happen in the timing that you thought it was going to. But it will happen. We may need to be patient over it. But it will happen. Every time. Now, what's going on out in the world today? Well, people are going crazy with this coronavirus. And, you know, I'm not that crazy about it. You know, I'm not going crazy about it. I have a calmness about me because I trust in my Lord God. Does it mean that I go and do stupid things? No. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to try to use some sanitizer when I remember to. I'm going to be careful. I've already called my mom up and told her, you know, she's in a living facility, independent living facility, where everyone, we're at 85. She's 92, and still considered one of the young ones. But you know that if it gets in there, I know how the flu works in there. You know, it goes rampant. So, you know, what do I tell her to do? You know, don't be petrified, but hunker down a little bit. You know, so what did they do? They went out, and they, even though they have a place to eat every night down in the restaurant, down there that they'll prepare for, my father's cooking every night. They're staying in the room most of the time. They're not scared and staying in there, but they'll go out shopping and stuff, but they'll stay away from the general population. So they're not doing stupid things. They're doing the things that will help to keep them healthy. And that's the right thing to do. What do as believers? We pray and we fast. In fact, this week, I got an email from First Fruits of Zion asking people to join together in prayer and fasting for the end of the coronavirus, joining together on Monday, asking people to pray and fast on Monday in order to come against the coronavirus in our country and in the world. So they attached a prayer. Prayer for protection and healing. And I've put this out on the front in the lobby so that people can take it and they can join in prayer. Now, for us, we'll pray about this on Monday individually. But when we come together on Tuesday for our encounter group, this is one of the main prayers that we'll be doing. You know, I know it's not Monday, but it still counts. Because prayer is not one of those things with a deadline. God is not beholden on our timeline. So Tuesday night is normally a time that we would be praying in our schedule for healing. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be praying for the health and healing of our country, for the coronavirus. Because what do I say every week? There is power in prayer. And when there's unified prayer, it multiplies it. This is what I say about prayer. There is multiplication of power when people are added. We know this to be true. So we'll come together individually on Monday, and then we'll come together corporately on Tuesday. So even if you don't normally come out, come on out on Tuesday. Pray on Monday. If you can't make it with us on Tuesday, pray on Tuesday night with us. We'll be together from 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening after dinner. Take the opportunity to catch hold of prayer. Make it a regular part of your life. Don't make it just when things are wrong. Make it an everyday occurrence. Because when is God God? Every day. When should we pray? Every day. When should we praise Him? Every day. When do we come to Him with our needs? Every day. What need is too big? There is none. What need is too small? There is none. Our God loves us, listens to those who love Him and listen to Him. Accept His Messiah. Know who His Ruach is. Allows the Ruach to dwell within. That's who we want to be as a people this week and every day. A people with the Ruach dwelling within us. A people who can depend upon the Ruach to be among us. Knowing that when we align our spirit with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, we're aligned with Adonai perfectly. And when we're aligned with Adonai, we're like that person holding an umbrella. The rain can't hit because the umbrella protects us. If we're out of alignment and I'm holding my umbrella out here, I'm still getting wet. I'm not protected. But when I'm aligned, I'm protected. So I want to be aligned with the Ruach HaKodesh, my spirit with the Ruach HaKodesh. How do I align myself? I pray and I listen to the Ruach. I listen to the word as it's written in Scripture. And I go to Him in a prayer closet and I speak. And then I stop speaking so that I can listen. Because when your mouth is going, your ears are closed. Give Him a chance to speak to you. Give Him the chance. And I know He will answer. So, Father, we thank You that You hear when we pray. We thank You that You give us opportunity to align ourselves with You. We thank You that Your Spirit, Your Ruach HaKodesh, wants us to be aligned. And even in those times that we're misaligned, maybe You need to use Your rod to move us. And it may not be comfortable, but I know it's for our good. So I ask Ruach HaKodesh, hear us when we pray, align us with Yourself, and help us to come to You in matters great and small. Ruach, even today I ask that You would put a hedge of protection around our family and our country against this coronavirus. We thank You that You are able, loving and merciful, to do all things, even those things that we think are impossible. The world may say it's just going to have to play itself out, but we say, no, our Lord can end it and end it swiftly. So that's our prayer to You today, that You would come. You would come in Your power, come in Your authority, and heal our land before it becomes too sick. Heal our land and our people and our family to minimize those who would be lost. And we ask that about their spirit as well. Minimize their loss by allowing yourself to be known to them as their Savior, Yeshua, as the one and only Savior. Let them see your light. Let them see your mercy. May this be the start of a revival in our country. Let voices be raised for healing and salvation so that this would be the start of a revival. And I say even let it start here and now, both in this sanctuary and in the homes of those who are listening online. Because I know that you are a God who is omnipresent, not just here, but you're there with those who are hearing it. In every home, in every place that your word goes forth. So I ask for your healing and your protection, and we ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Who knows he's able? Amen. Amen. So we're going to close our service with thanking him again for the wine and the bread. So let's all stand for the bracha. Stay. Let's. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam Borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth, who creates fruit of the vine. See, that's why I need to open it. I know it, but it's the... Ah, amen. And then we have a lovely little challah here. Father, we thank you for your bread and for your word that feeds us and for Yeshua that brings salvation to us. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzei lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Amen. Maybe for a moment. That was good. And you're all going to get a piece, I promise. So, for those at home watching on the live stream, thank you for joining us on our day of Purim and joining us in our Purim spiel. I hope you enjoyed the spiel. I hope you got something out of the word. I hope you have a great week, not just the Shabbat, but a great week until we get to see you next week. Shabbat shalom, everybody online. And for those who are here, I think we're running a little ahead of schedule, aren't we? So we'll take a few moments to pray. Yeah, let's take a few moments to pray. How do we